Now, after this, everything changed. The whole mood became very dark, very solemn, very serious. And this is when God cut covenant with Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 12 to 21 says this: "Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they will come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.'" Verse 17 is very important. "And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.'" Before we go further, we just need to introduce the concept of types and shadows. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows. Things in the Old Testament are shadows of things that apply to our own lives today. It's something really cool, and it's key in understanding Scripture. Someone once explained it this way. They said, "The new is in the old contained. The old is in the new explained. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. The new is in the old enfolded, and the old is in the new unfolded." An example of a type would be Joshua. Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. He was a type of Christ. Just as Joshua led them into the promised land, Jesus leads us into our promised land. In fact, Joshua and Jesus are even the same name. The new covenant that we have with God through Jesus today is hidden in this Abrahamic covenant. In order to understand the covenant that you and I have in God and with God, we really do need to study both the principles and examples of covenants that we find in the Word of God. And it is my opinion that this Abrahamic covenant is the most important one of all. And so let us now re-examine Genesis 15, verse 17, very closely. It says, "And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces." As we said before, the two parties making the covenant would have to walk between those animals, those carcasses. In fact, they would actually walk in a set pattern. It was a figure of eight, which is the infinity symbol, because it has no beginning and no ending. And that was because a covenant was never meant to end. But something very different happened when God cut covenant with Abraham in verse 17. See, look at it again. Do you see Abraham walking between those animals? Do you? "And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces." Do you see that? Abraham never walked between the animals. Abraham was in a daze. He was in a semi-conscious state. And what he saw was someone else walking where he was supposed to walk. Someone else was saying, "I am giving up my own rights to my own life. I am beginning a new walk with my covenant partner unto death." Remember that the covenant partner here is God. So someone else is saying, "Not my will, God, but yours be done, as my covenant partner." Abraham couldn't make out who it was that was walking between the pieces. It was such a brilliant glow. It was this light. And so he could only describe the two parties as a smoking furnace and a burning lamp, a burning light. But what was it that Abraham saw? Who were the two parties who were cutting covenant as they walked between the animal pieces? Matthew 17 verse 2 says, "And he," that is Jesus, "was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." Revelation 1 verse 14 to 15 says, "His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." John 8 verse 12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." The two parties who walked between those animal pieces were God and God. God the Father appeared as a burning furnace that was smoking, and God the Son appeared as the lamp or the light. But how could Jesus be walking around in Abraham's day when he'd not yet been born? Well, yes, it's true. He had not yet been born. But indeed, he's an eternal pre-existing being. And as God, he's not bound by time. In fact, Jesus appears quite a few times in the Old Testament. And remember, he is the focus of all 39 books of the Old Testament. In John 8 verse 56, Jesus said the following to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. He said, "Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Abraham thought of seeing Jesus' day, so it was in his future, and yet he saw it, so it was in his present and past. How could that be possible? Well, it's because he saw Jesus walking in his place. Our thinking is so confined and limited by time and space, but we have to remember that God is not confined to either. And so, even here in the Abrahamic covenant, we see Jesus standing in for us, just like he stood in our place when he went to the cross. Abraham saw Christ walking in his place. Christ, the eternal Son of God, in his pre-existing glory, cut covenant with God the Father and stood in for Abraham. And all of Abraham's unborn children were included in the covenant. Why? Because they were in Abraham. See, this is why the Bible talks about us being in Christ. When Christ walked that covenant walk between those pieces of those animals, you and I were in him. And so we, as believers in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, are included in the covenant that God made with Abraham. Remember that the sacrifice was always symbolic of the flesh and blood of the one who made the walk. So the sacrifice pointed to Christ himself, who would someday in the future come as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. As God walked between those dead animals and their blood splashed up on his feet, he knew that if Abraham or his descendants ever broke the covenant, and he knew they would, that one day he would be the one lying in his own blood, dead. He committed himself to die to save his beloved mankind. Do you see that there's no fear of any death penalty for you and I? Why? Because Jesus walked in Abraham's place. Jesus walked in my place. Jesus walked in your place. And so if and when that covenant was ever broken, Jesus would then die the death penalty for that broken covenant. we serve a mighty, awesome, amazing God. There is something I want to add to this, and I don't know if you've got any Muslim friends or colleagues. But you know, the Muslims often bring up this point. And I think it's quite sad that the Christians don't actually address it. Because one of the biggest arguments, one of the biggest stumbling blocks that is in the way of a Muslim, that stops a Muslim from receiving Jesus Christ, is just simply the fact that it's illegal. In the law of Moses, it is illegal for an innocent person to die for a guilty person. And so a Muslim will say, but how can you expect me to believe that God broke the law? Look, it's in your own Bible. How can you expect me to believe that God broke his own law? And the mistake that Christians have made is that they have not answered that question. It's real and it's valid and it's perfectly correct. The Muslims are right when they say it's illegal for an innocent person to die for a guilty person. But here is the key that they're missing. This is what they don't have. And if we would present the gospel this way, we would win a whole lot more Muslims to Christ than we are at the moment. This is the key. That the reason why Jesus could die our death penalty was because he is the one who walked the covenant walk on our behalf. The one who walks that covenant walk is the one who must die if it's broken. That's why Jesus could die for you and I. That's why. That is the answer that the Muslim world needs to hear. And so we'll close with that for this week. Thank you so much for your time. As always, it's been great. And we will see you next week. God bless you all. Bye for now.